This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, and you are here with another episode of Checkpoint Intimates, your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. Cameron's already laughing at me.
Yeah, I know. Like, what an interesting way to open. Like, that was a choice.
Why? What did I do?
Intimate.
My name is Elliot. Your name is Cameron.
Yeah, that is.
What are we talking about?
Today, we're talking about advertising. So advertising is obviously a huge part of gaming, but what we really wanted to touch on was instead of the kind of advertising we all know, you know, the releases at E3, when you go hunting for a YouTube trailer, that kind of thing, this is instead about the advertising that makes its way into the kind of general public.
Mm. Now, it seeps its way through.
Yeah, through and that cracks. Can be through, you know, ads popping up on when you're going through YouTube. It can be ads in front of movies. It can be on television. It can be
on the side of a bus.
Oh yeah, on the bus, up on a billboard, that kind of thing. And just kind of the approach that we take with kind of integrating into popular culture outside of gaming and how we're trying to break into that.
It's part of the perception of how non-gamers perceive video games because this is what they're introduced to through these ads that permeate through to mainstream culture.
And then represent us. And build that idea of who we are as people.
Yeah, and we have some pretty terrible and hilarious examples.
Well, I think it's quite interesting. Elliot, would you say at any point that you are embarrassed or ashamed to be a gamer?
No, because I've had to deal with that, I guess. Like, I've gone through the phase of my life where I was, like, hiding it a bit, and at this point, I couldn't care less because it just makes so much more sense.
I'm very much the same. I went through a stage when I first came out that I was a bit like, ugh.
Came out as a gamer?
No, as gay.
Okay.
The gay community wasn't as welcoming of gamers, and it was kind of like a weird sub-thing within a sub-thing. And so gaming kind of was something that I didn't really talk about doing, but these days, I married another gamer. We love gaming, and it's a big part of who we are. We talk about it a lot. I'm very upfront about it. I say to people, I work for a gaming radio show.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, I don't really understand that. I'm like, well, that's your problem, not mine.
Well, get out of my face then.
Yeah, like, I'm not ashamed of being a gamer. I love that it's a hobby that I love, and my family embraces it.
I've seen this conversation take place where somebody's like, you know, they don't get it, and you just kind of push them over.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, do I?
No, it was a joke, you fool.
I was like, oh,
wow. I don't
think
you get physically violent with people.
Oh,
on
I thought you meant, like,
basis.
Push them over with my argument. Like, just be like, okay, and move on. But what I'm saying is, so I am in no way embarrassed to be a gamer.
That's good.
But.
Yeah, here we go.
I do get real cringy and embarrassed when video game ads appear in the general public. And it's something that I know others experience, but it's also something that people don't really think about or interact with or have a reaction to. But me showing you a few ads before we did this, I could see cringe levels rising within you.
Because you were showing me the specifically bad examples.
But the problem is that there really is only bad examples. There are some good, and we'll get into those as well. But I think what brought this around was that there's a targeting ad campaign going around at the moment for League of Legends. Massive MOBA, one of the biggest games out there.
Yep.
Huge following, and they're always trying to get new players. But one of the things that people say about LoL is that it's daunting. There's a lot to it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a new kind of advertising campaign going around YouTube that's appearing before I'm watching ads that have nothing to do with gaming.
Yeah, this is stuff you haven't searched for. It's actually popped up.
I don't look for League of Legends.
League of Legends looks for you.
I've never really Googled it. There's no reason it should be in my AdWords. It shouldn't be in my SEO cache or whatever they're doing with
getting technical.
Yeah, like, there's no reason
How
for it to come up for me.
How is your cache looking these days?
Cleared on a regular basis.
That's good. It's healthy to clear your cache regularly.
It is. If you're listening to this now, go and clear your cache.
Yeah.
You should
be doing it at least monthly.
But because of that, it's popping up for me, and I'm like, I'm watching a video about cinema, like, why is it coming up for me? And about comedy and humor, and it just kept coming up, and I'm like, why is this appearing for me? And it's a terrible ad. So what it is essentially like a really low-key animation, like, that it's
deliberately shit.
Yeah, kind of deliberately not great animation, and it's it basically is trying to talk to you in gamer talk.
Mm.
Like, it's trying to be real hip and cool and young.
Is that the problem? Maybe League of Legends is targeting an audience which you are not a part of.
Well, it could be that, but it just talks in such a way that it's just...
You are not hip. You are not youthful. You are not in the zeitgeist of gaming.
I'm in love with myself enough that you can't shake my confidence, mate. But it's that kind of thing where it came up and I just went, oh, this is doing the opposite. I'm watching it as it meant, like, it starts explaining in a really condescending way how the game works. I mean, like, you don't have friends, you should play video games. If you had friends, they'd be playing this video game, but you don't have any, so play video games. And then it starts explaining basically the mechanics of the game, and it just done in such a way that you sit there going, I don't care. It's like when someone sits down next to you and wants to talk to you about, like, their dreams, and you're sitting there going, I don't really care.
Oh, wow. We had this conversation, like, yes, is this what... Oh, okay.
Yeah, you did try and tell me about your dreams the other day. Sorry you find out like this.
Oh, but, uncomfortable.
You know, it's that thing where you kind of go, well, this... I don't think this is getting new people in. This doesn't feel like it's selling. And then I was like, and why is it coming up?
Here's the thing. League of Legends has an awesome cinematic team who make these fantastic trailers. And they've borrowed from a lot of different art styles in the past, showing their range of, like, really successful media campaigns. So to see these ads, and you showed them to me today, I'm like, what is this piece of garbage?
And coming from the official League of Legends YouTube page, it's not a fan-made page that someone's put up.
No, this
is official from them.
I had to double check because I'm like, this can't be no, it's real.
Yep. Yeah. And so it's that kind of thing where they have this great team that could do so much more, but they're really not. Like, why would you put this out there when you have a team? So you look at things like Overwatch. I think Overwatch had advertising that really bled into the general public quite a lot. And it would work with the little snippet of animations they created and some of the, you know, in-game scenes that they have. But they were very brief in what they did. I noticed that a lot of their ads that went into the public space was either just like a billboard with a character and, you know, play, and or like just a quick snippet. And it's like, here are the heroes, a quick lineup of just a couple of heroes, flash action shots, and then Overwatch. And it would leave people to go and kind of look. And I think it doesn't show as much, and it feels better. Now, when I go to the movies, quite often these days in front of movies, you'll get at least one game trailer.
Yeah.
The beginning of that was Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed, for the last, like, 10 years, I've seen them kind of popping up in front of movies. Like, I remember the first one I noticed it with was Assassin's Creed 3. And I remember it coming up, and I was in a movie, and it was... I can't remember. It was a serious movie. Like, it was something that was going for Oscar contention. And then Assassin's Creed trailer came up in the ads beforehand, and I could feel palpable judgment from people in that room being like, what is this? Why is this here? And then it came up with, like, the Xbox logo at the end, and the entire time, I just felt myself shrinking down inside myself. And I'm like, why does that happen? Why do I feel that way?
Is part of you still ashamed of being a gamer, Cameron?
Well, no, but these ads don't do anything to help it. It's the same thing, like, we saw it happen at the moment. You pointed out the Detroit Become Human have these ads. It's in a triplicate. There's three. Yeah. And they space them out during the ads, and you get one, and then there'll be a break.
Yeah, so there'll be, like, you'll be watching the trailers before the movie starts, and you'll get, you know, one trailer focusing on Marcus, and then it'll be some other ad. And then you'll get one trailer focusing on Connor, and then it's another ad. And they'll do this for all three characters, and it kind of breaks it up so that you think it's over, and then, oh no, the trailer starts again. And look, I kind of get it. For me, I'm not ashamed of being a gamer, but I hate having the gamer conversation with people who I know for a fact are so distant from that.
And don't care.
Because it will come up for us more often than maybe your average person, because when people ask us what we do, it's like, oh, I'm part of this gaming thing on the radio, for instance. And it's like, oh, you do? That's cool. What are you talking about?
Hmm.
Oh, but how often can, like, how much, like, can you actually discuss about, oh, and it's like, I hate having that conversation because it's like, you don't care. You're trying to pretend like you're interested in my hobbies when in reality, I can feel the judgment and the condescension. And so, yeah, I get it. So when gaming advertising hits the general public, you feel that same kind of judgment happening around you. And it's like, I feel like I want to, number one, defend the video games.
Yes.
But number two, be like, actually, I kind of get it. These trailers are trash.
Yep.
Why is this what's being shown?
Mm-hmm.
It deserves judgment.
Yeah. And it's that thing like I say I volunteer because you and I are volunteers here with Joy to be part of Checkpoint.
Yep.
I say I volunteer on Saturdays. And people go, oh, okay, what do you volunteer? I'm like, well, I do journalism. And they're like, okay, what kind of journalism?
Wait,
like,
so you keep it away from them?
No, quite not. No, usually I say, I volunteer. And they'll be like, oh, what do you volunteer? And I'll say, I'm a video game journalist. And they say, oh, a video game journalist? Is that a thing? And I feel like that conversation, because it comes up so much for us, I think we're just a lot more aware of what's happening. And I find that some developers and some advertising companies are also a little bit more aware of what's happening. Because I want to bring to attention one of the ads that made it onto television that was seen all over. And it was a Call of Duty World War II ad that came out last year.
Yep.
And it's an interesting ad because it features zero gameplay, zero footage of the actual game.
Yep, no in-engine footage.
Nothing, not even a cutscene that is representative of World War II. All the game is a collection of friends meeting up with each other and talking about the fact that they want to go and play Call of Duty together. Now, here's the thing. It's not necessarily a bad ad. I see what they were going for, and I like that.
I chuckled a little bit at certain parts.
Yeah, there were good moments to it, and I think I went on a little too long, let's be honest. It just kept going. I'm like, no one has eight friends that are willing to play Call of Duty at any given time when they're adults. But it was that thing where it's like, I get what they're going for. They're going to show, like, look at the you've had great times with friends, getting the old game together, having fun playing. But it was so self-aware that it needed to not show any of the actual gameplay footage. And that's the one that made it onto television. That's the one that was seen a lot. And it was all about playing with friends and the human side of it, but never did it focus on being a video game.
Yeah. And here's the thing. As a marketing student, I know what they were doing. And here's the problem. They were targeting a specific demographic. They were like, we want to get the people who used to play Call of Duty and no longer play it because the last few games were like Infinite War or whatever and it got ridiculous and spacey.
Yep.
And these people dropped off our game. Let's get them back. They already know what Call of Duty is. So all they need to hear is it's back to World War II. They don't need to see gameplay footage. They just need something like that will catch their spirit and get them to say, yeah, let's reunite the squad and get back into it.
Yeah.
The problem is for people who don't fit that demographic, the ad campaign is so
obtuse.
Yeah. And so cringy and so like separated from reality and like what actually happens that it becomes like uncomfortable to kind of watch vicariously.
Yeah, and it's that thing of like, it's happened with a few ads that I see. And here's the thing. A big thing with advertising is that free-to-air TV is not that huge anymore. And especially gamers aren't really watching a lot of free-to-air TV.
Aren't.
Streaming services are so popular and your console or your PC can offer you the streaming of all the shows that you love. So why would you be watching free-to-air?
Well, that makes it the perfect place to advertise because gamers are already buying and playing video games. It's the non-gamers that these ads are trying to target.
And it's this weird thing that they can't figure out how to advertise to these people without it coming across as a bit more juvenile and childish, which is what we're trying to avoid in gaming. There's this one that goes around, again, Call of Duty, that places everyday people doing their everyday people job into like these big battles and they're running around with shotguns and being very intense and it's all that. And it's like, are you really trying to get the ice cream man to come and play your game? Why are we, like, why is he there? Like, it's humor and I get what it's going for, but it has this idea that it's, they pitch too hard almost.
For me, it's live stream. Sorry. What do they call it when it's like live actors?
FMV?
I don't think it was
full
quite
motion video.
I don't think it was quite FMV, but it was it's either you are a video game or you have these like live actors. You can't have both because gaming is not live actors.
Yep.
So to pretend like it is or to like use that as your advertising tool is like, no, you have this awesome thing which is cinematography and graphics and these trailers that you have been able to create. You utilize that. It's so much more representative of the gamersphere and what games actually are.
Well, it's also this
live
kind
action
of
trailers. That's what I'm trying to say.
And so it's also this thing of like bolstering it up heaps. I don't know if you remember, there's those ones with Arnold Schwarzenegger for the Mobile Strike app or whatever it was.
Yeah, whenever they get celebrity endorsements, and oh, terrible.
Mariah Carey did Fire of War or something like that, and it's like they've got an endorsement. The person comes in, they say the lines, and that's the ad.
Fire of War sounds like a made up video game.
No, it's a thing on like Warfire. It's something on the phone. It's awful, but it exists. Like so that these celebrities can come in, put their name to it. We're done. Walk
you
out.
You're
not
thinking of Game of War, are you?
I don't know.
Because that wasn't Mariah Carey.
No, Mariah Carey has... It's the one with the woman in the white dress. Mariah Carey did one, and then they switched over to someone else.
Look, I'm going
to
believe you.
And I think Sophie Monk was in one as well. Like, it's bizarre. But it's that kind monster of thing, like, where... Who are you advertising for?
Yeah,
it's weird. And I think that's the thing. Tonally, games in the general public for video games, they can't figure out their tone. Mm. So then you get embarrassed because you're like, this isn't the tone of the game, and I know that, and you're marketing towards people who don't care, and you've got the tone wrong for them as well. So no one ends up happy.
Yeah, I think you're going to see more mobile game ads because, once again, gaming advertising is trying to target non-gamers, yep, and that's the easiest way to get people into gaming is mobile gaming. So that's why you see so many Clash of Clans ads or what was that freaking Connect 3 game that...
Candy Crush.
Mm. There were so many, like, yep. King as a company does so many ads, yep, in just mainstream media, and there's a good reason they do it, but also it's such a poor representation of video games.
And now we're talking a lot about, like, kind of, like, ads in terms of, like, animation and live action, but there's another area which is kind of like posters and art and that kind of thing, your billboards
on the side of buses.
So we talked about the fact that, like, at this point in time, you can go down to Swanston Street here in Melbourne and there's a tram that goes up and down that still has Shadow of War,
yeah,
on its tram. It's this kind of like, is that game not past? Do we need to move on from there? That kind of thing.
Yeah, it's almost a year old now.
Yeah, and then you get your big billboards and some get it right, some don't. We're looking at... what was it, the PlayStation White?
Oh, God, the PlayStation White ad campaign.
Which featured a very racist undertone that someone really should have picked up on.
I don't know how that got through. So, yeah, what we're describing here is they made a version of one of the PlayStation consoles, a white version of it, and their ad campaign was a white person kind of hand on forehead pushing away a black person.
Yes, and because there
and
was
like,
an,
what?
There was two versions. There was PlayStation White and PlayStation Black, and depending on which billboard it was, the person who was advertising for black or white was the aggressor.
It's just like, why bring race into it?
Yeah, and it, like, they were dressed completely in white, their hair was white, their skin was over, like, the makeup was done so it was much, like, saturated, much more pure white, and then like night black.
Yeah,
and it was just so poorly
done. We've almost moved into another realm. This isn't even cringe anymore. Yeah. It's just straight up inappropriate.
Well, it just missed the mark completely. And this is the problem: is this is the image that then gets sent out to the world. This is what they see. They go, "Oh,
I don't think that will ever happen again, though."
Look,
I think we've
at
moved
that
to a place where everybody knows that's not right.
I would like to say one thing that I think that is good in terms of these kind of ads is, especially in Melbourne, it's really big, but around the world now, it's picking up a lot, is to get artists to create murals.
Yeah.
In public spaces. We've had a few Overwatch ones here in Melbourne. We had a Destiny one as well.
I've seen a Last of Us 2 one.
A Last of Us 2 one, and they do them on the regular, and, you know, it's kind of like, they usually have the art and then just a tiny little logo down the bottom.
Yeah.
And people that know what it is know what it is, but it gets people's attention.
Now, some of this is just straight up, like, street artists doing their own thing, but a lot of this is actually proper commissioned work.
Well, I know the Overwatch one's, like, Blizzard commissioned.
Yep.
There's a great one that when they did the Talon mission for Blackwatch, the Blackwatch mission for the anniversary, they drew the character select screen for the Blackwatch team, and there was a space for you to stand in it and take a photo with it.
Aww.
And it was really good, and you saw it everywhere, and people were really excited by it, and it got people talking about Overwatch without it being, play Overwatch, be the boss. That's my impression of the ad.
They should just run that snippet of sound,
yeah,
as their next ad campaign.
TM, Cameron. But I think that's a time that advertising worked quite well, in terms of it wasn't in your face, and it showed kind of the brightness and colorfulness and the artistic integrity behind gaming.
Yeah, and I think there's obviously ways that game advertising can be done well and ways that game advertising can be done incredibly badly. Unfortunately, it's always the bad ones that stick in your memory, isn't it?
Yeah, we remember all the bad ones.
Like, the amount of trailers and stuff that have probably hit TVs and movie cinemas and whatever, there's probably heaps of really good examples, but it just doesn't stick with you, does it?
I'd like to point out one last one before we finish up. Back when I was a kid, I remember the Metal Gear Solid, the ad for that that used to play on television was great. It was a person who was frostbitten and then had the buttons from PlayStation, like, burnt into their hand in such a way, like they'd been pressing it too much. And it was all about the fact that they'd been hiding in the cold of Shadow Moses Island that was in Metal Gear Solid. And something about that, like, it registered well with me and
yeah,
made me go,
cool. That's,
oh,
that's,
I kind of
like
connect
a neat
with this.
Idea, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I think, like, made for the gamers, though, it sounds like.
Do you know what it is? There was a stage during the late 90s, early 2000s where I feel there was a good kind of, Sony had some good ads going. There was some that were a bit weird, a bit too far. There's definitely some weird ones. But they had some really cool ads going to kind of push into the general public that worked quite well before we kind of segregated, and now we're trying to push back into the general public.
Yeah. Agreed. Cool. Thank you, Cameron, for joining us. We've been talking
about
video game ads, and especially the ones that have kind of hit the mainstream
and
media.
Just the cringe we feel sometimes.
Definitely some good examples, definitely a lot of bad. My name has been Elliot. Thank you for joining us, and make sure you tune in next week because there is more intimate goodness coming.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.